Listen, you guys all look comfortable in your chairs. Are these chairs comfortable? You all look comfortable in your chairs. If I right now ask all y'all to grab your stuff and move to another chair, what is going to happen up in here? Why you want us to move, Pastor? What you trying to? Why are you trying to get us to move? I'm comfortable right here. You don't want to move. If the usher came down right now and said, "We have five people coming. Can you move over to the side? Can't you take them around?" You come up with all kinds of reasons why you don't need to move because you're comfortable. Amen? Comfortable people don't want to move. Comfortable people don't want to change. Am I telling the truth or what? Change. Comfort is another reason why some people will not change. Number five reason people don't change, ignorance. Let me give you an example about comfort real quick. Comfort was the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and says, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?" He said, how do you read the scriptures?" He said, "Well, you know, you shall not do this." He starts reading off the commandments. He said, "Oh, that's good, that's good." He said, "I've done all these things since my youth." Well, why are you asking the question? You know something's missing, or else you wouldn't ask the question. He said, "Well, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then you'll have riches in heaven." And it says he went away disappointed because he had much stuff. He was comfortable. And so being challenged, give up all that money and do this, then you'll have eternal life. Finds out what he bows to. Amen? Yeah. Comfort will tell you what you bow to. Last thing is ignorance. Sometimes you just don't know. Lack of understanding. We don't understand we need to change. That's how I was. I was a sinner. I heard about Christianity, but I had no revelation, so I didn't want to change. I didn't understand. I have no clue as to why I need to change. All I know is you're telling me to come to church every Sunday, but I don't know why I'm supposed to come to church. I don't understand why I'm supposed to come to church. Matter of fact, I've been to church. I grew up in church. I got kicked out of church. I've been in multiple churches. Why am I supposed to be there? I don't even understand. Is it for the music? Is it for this? Is it for that? Somebody help me understand. I don't even understand what the preacher's talking about. And you know, I'm not negative at all. The pastor when I was a young teenager, the church we went to, he won preaching awards. He was the president of the national convention of the denomination, of the whole denomination. And I'm sitting in this church and I don't even know what's going on. And it's not that he wasn't preaching the word. It's not that he wasn't doing a great job. It's that my eyes were blinded. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, say, "I know what pastor's talking about." Ignorance. Let's look at the cycle of spiritual growth, and we'll start getting into what I want to share with you today. That's kind of background information. And this will come quick and really strong. Cycle of spiritual growth, we know that you move in anything God reveals to you, anything God's trying to raise you up or mature you in, it always starts with, basically, even before this chart, it starts with ignorance. You walk around and you don't know. And then all of a sudden, God shows you something that registers with your mind. And you conceive it in your mind. You can understand it from an intellectual perspective. You can understand what they're talking about. You understand what they're saying. So as a child, because I grew up, quote, kind of in church, and I was sent to a Lutheran school and then to a Catholic school, so I had information and my father was Kojic, and my mother was Baptist, and my stepmother was Catholic, and my stepfather was Methodist. So I got all the bases covered. But I still don't understand. So I know the books of the Bible. I had memorized the books of the Bible because I had to, because I went to the school I went to. They made me memorize the books of the Bible. I knew the characters in the Bible. I would argue with the Sunday school teacher that they were misinterpreting Samuel's demise. I argued with my fourth grade Sunday school teacher, and I got kicked out of class for that. I know. I got it in my head. But I don't have it past that. So past knowledge has to come revelation. Revelation is when common information becomes so personal to you that you can't escape the reality of it. When you see it spiritually. Something comes and you go, oh, I understand that. Sometimes you read your Bible and you read something that you've seen, read over multiple times, and then something jumps off the page. What was that? Revelation. You saw it before, but then all of a sudden it revealed. God revealed it. When we're having prayer this morning, I told them, I said, look, I have on a very conservative suit, but then I have some flashy socks on, right? So I got my flashy socks on. Now, the socks were already on. You didn't know they were there. And you didn't know they were there because they hadn't been revealed. So sometimes things exist in the world that you're just not aware of because they have not been revealed to you. So I'm sitting in a church and they're preaching the word and people are getting whatever they're getting some, they keep coming back. But you know what? I'm not getting anything and I'm sitting there with blinders on because I'm, as much as I know, I can't see. And because I'm ignorant, I don't know that I need to change. Because in my head, they need to change. In my head, the church needs to change. In my head, I don't even know why I am. This is a waste of time. In my head. Because I'm blind. But because I'm blind, I think everybody else is blind. Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny sometimes you can be the one that's blind and not realize you're blind? Because you've been used to being in the dark. And you don't realize there's a light. And so you're groping in darkness, saying everybody else is crazy for what they're doing, when you're the one who's in the dark. Amen. So reality is that you have to understand that there has to be a revelation. But once something is revealed, you have a choice. Once revelation comes, you have to make a choice. You have to choose to accept the revelation and exercise the revelation, or you choose to look at the revelation and ignore the revelation. So, when God brings change into our life, when God is trying to mature us spiritually, He's trying to bring us up spiritually. One of the things that happens is this: if we don't choose to change, we invite calamity. Amen? When God reveals something to us, He shows us something. If we don't make the choice to change, then we're making the choice to remain on the course that we're on. And we say, well, I haven't made a decision yet. Actually, you have made a decision. Your decision is not to change. Well, what do you think about this? I haven't made a decision. Yeah, you have. Your decision is to stay on your current course. So understanding that once we are given the opportunity to change, we need to change. We need to change. And the whole reason we don't change is we have these different factors that we just talked about. But between revelation, application, that decision that has to be made is first, you have to choose. Second, you have to dedicate yourself. And third, you have to, with dedication, then discipline. That once the decision is made, you will stay on the decision. Amen? All right, now, let's hit this next thing. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. And I'm going to share something really, really quick. In a natural sense, when we talk about change, we talked about the reasons people don't change, but technically there's only three directions that we change in. There's only three things. Number one is growth. So if we're going to change, one direction that we can change in is a change in the direction of growth, okay? Spiritual growth, natural growth, emotional growth, financial growth, relationship growth. That's one direction. We grow. That's one direction of change. The second direction of change is decline. In other words, if I'm not growing, the opposite of growing is declining. So the Bible tells us that while our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen? Amen. I was looking at a picture of myself, and I said, this is an old picture. And I said, wait a minute. My hairline was here. I didn't used to have a four-finger hairline. It was just used to be three fingers. Yeah. I ain't talking, brother. I ain't got nothing to say. Praise the Lord. But we all are changing. And we don't have to do anything to make a change. You just let it ride and it's going to change. Amen? But why? Because we were born with a sin nature. Adam was not created with a sin nature. He created a sin nature through disobedience to God. And what was set in motion now is a sin nature that causes decay. In other words, our bodies were designed to live much longer. The first 11 chapters of the Bible show us what God's intent was. People living long terms, long spans. But then, after the flood, man's lifespan decreased. And so now we live a certain period of time. And with that certain period of time, our body goes from where we see it grow to where we see it move. And it changes constantly. Why? Because the sin nature causes a decay. So we have, on one hand, we know that there's growth, but we also know that another direction is decay, decline, erosion. Here's the powerful thing. You can't control growth, and you can't control decay. Only thing you control is the third direction, and that is position. Position. You cannot control growth. Growth happens because a seed is created with a DNA or something already imprinted on it. It has a lifespan. It's already created to do or be or move a certain direction. You can't control decay because decay is also in that same thing. It's written. It's going to happen no matter what. You can't make it stop. You can prop it up, but you can't make it stop. Amen? What you can control is positioning. You can control your position. So Jesus gives a parable to his disciples. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, I want you to listen close. Listen for revelation. Growth and erosion are prearranged by God to operate when something is in the right soil or in the right position. You cannot take an apple tree and plant it in sand. It won't grow. And the reason it won't grow is not because of anything wrong with the seed. The reason it won't grow is because the soil, it's in the wrong position. And as long as it's in the wrong position, it's not going to grow. Then you can put it in dirt. and it flourishes. Then you say, okay, things grow in dirt. Great. So you get a cactus and you put it in the dirt and it only grows this big. You say, what's wrong with this cactus? This cactus won't grow. Why can this cactus won't grow? And you can't figure out why this cactus won't grow. And you keep watering it, and the more you water it, the more it starts to... It's like, wait, it's getting water. Look, I'm watering my apple tree, and it's growing in this dirt. I'm watering this cactus, and it's turning over. How come? But then you take the cactus, and you put it in the soil, in the sand where the apple tree wouldn't grow, and it grows. And you're driving out in the desert somewhere, and you see a 10-foot cactus. You say, why? My cactus is only 3 inches tall at home. Position. You can control your position. And your position is what determines whether what you are can be manifested. Amen? Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. I'm looking at New King James Version. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a sower. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And behold, it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he tells this parable about this sower, a farmer, who's going out and scattering seeds. And he's scattering seeds. And as he's scattering seeds, when harvest time comes, he sees four different types of growth. He sees one where he threw the seed out and the birds came and got it immediately. No harvest, because it never even really gets in the soil. Then he sees seeds that go down and they shoot up immediately. Wow, I wasn't even expecting it. Wow, look how fast. But then they start to wilt, because while they grew fast, they didn't grow deep, because the ground was too rocky for them. And so they're trying to get roots down, but the ground is wrong. And then you have the one that fell among the thorns, and it's going down, but when it's coming up, the thorns around it choke it off. And then finally, good ground, where you have 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold growth. Amen? So, they listen to him, and then he has to say, now, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, I said it to all y'all. I know all y'all have ears, but everybody's not going to hear. Everybody's not going to hear. I'm speaking this, it's there, it's available, but everybody's not going to hear, because everybody's ears aren't inclined to hear. So then they, of course, say to Jesus, that when the sower goes out, let me say it this way. When the sower sows the seed, The sower is not concerned with where it lands. The sower just has to sow. The sower can't worry about where the ground is. The sower has to put the seeds out there. The sower has to continue to sow. The sower has to continue to put out. So you, with what God has given you, you have to continue to put it out. You have to continue to pour out what God has put in you. Because why? Because everything God put in you is a seed. And you are a change maker, whether you understand it or not. And the seed that you're given, when you sow that seed, you're causing some things to be changed. Even if you don't feel like you're a sower. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a sower. You're a sower and you are soil. Okay? You're both a sower and you are soil. So when you're soil, you have to recognize you control the condition of the soil. Amen? You control the condition of the soil. And what I mean by that is that you can look at your own heart and determine how your heart is in being receptive. So when I was listening to the word being preached to me, I was not conscious of the soil. So I'm sitting in a church with 1,000 people in it, and I can't hear what's going on because my soil is hard. I'm wayside sitting in the church. And the pastor's sweating and preaching. And people buying the message and, wow, pastor, that was great. I'm like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Why? Because my heart was not prepared. My heart was not ready. And so he's sowing in there. And the seeds are hitting, but they're not going down. So then there are people who can maybe be in a different stage of life, and their topsoil is great. But the soil below is hard. And so when that seed comes in, they go, oh, I see, I got it. I got it. I got it. And they jump up, and they're ready to do stuff. And then at our previous church, I used to be in charge of our Bible school. And so a man came and took a class. And he came up to me. He said, oh, he said, man, I got it. He said, I got it. He said, brother, starting today, I'm going to be your armor bearer. I'm like, I didn't ask for that. He said, I'm your armor bearer, man. He went to the pastor. He told the pastor, he said, pastor, I'm your armor bearer. And I don't know how you're going to be his armor bearer and mine, because that means every time, because he's a little higher on the totem pole, so that means once he got a need, I'm exposed. Because you done took my armor over there with him. So anyway, see him a couple weeks, and he disappeared. I've not seen that man since. He heard the word, he got a hold of it, sprang up, disappeared. No root. And when I was overseeing ministers training, I saw this dynamic so many times. I would see people have a call in their life, and they would have the call, and they know they have the call, and they're so persuaded, and they're excited, and they're ready to get going. And I'm saying, okay, good, get into the class, learn. Understand, grow with it, because the vision's for an appointed time. They said, no, I'm ready right now. I'm ready right now. And they would go out into the world, and the world would tsh, tsh. The world would slap them because they were excited. They had zeal, but they didn't have any knowledge to go out with. And so they stepped out into the world, and the world ate them alive. And unfortunately, in some cases, the world ate them alive so badly, it pulled them back into the world. Because they're excited and they're ready to go. But they're not ready to be prepared. Preparation requires roots. It requires foundation be established. And the change is not visible to other people. Two trees growing in a garden together. This is not a joke. No, y'all thought it was going to be a joke. Two trees growing in a garden next to each other. They look the same. The wind blows, one goes over. What happened? The roots of one didn't go down deep enough. So they look exactly the same. But when challenge or trial or trouble comes, you find out how deep the roots are. There's certain things that have happened in my life. If they had happened to me 10 years earlier, I wouldn't have had the same response I had. Because I wasn't ready. My life wasn't in the right position. I was talking to one of my pastor brothers on the phone yet last night, and we were talking about some stuff and laughing, pastor jokes. So we're laughing, having a good time, talking about something, and he said to me this. He said, I know your church is only 3 years old. He said, but I know how long you've been in ministry, and I understand what you're saying. In other words, I know your church is only 3 years old, but I know how deep your roots are. And as I'm listening to you talk, I hear the depth of your roots. And I'm not saying that to talk about me. I'm just saying that there's a root that God is establishing in your life. There's a root that God is pushing down. And as you're controlling the ground, because remember we read in the book of Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence because out of your heart come the issues of your life. And the heart that you're protecting, the heart that you're guarding is actually making good ground for your roots to go down. And the deeper your roots go, the stronger you are, even though you look the same as you always did. You look the same, but your roots have gone deep. And because your roots have gone deep, you are changing when people don't even realize you're changing. You're being transformed. Remember I said there's a different word, the word change, which means to turn. And then there's a word transformation, which means to be changed. And when Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom unless you turn. He was saying, you can't walk through the door of the kingdom until you turn your life, repent, and move toward God. But then once you come in, I'm going to transform you by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to prove to you the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. I know that you have things in your life that you think, man, if I turn, I can't sustain it because I know who I am. But God says, all I need you is the willingness. I need you to make the decision to turn and have faith toward me. And when you have faith toward me, then I will make you good ground. And I will start to transform you by the renewing of your mind so that we can prove the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God in your life. God will cause us to walk in the highest places possible. I want to read the last of this, and then we're going to close. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12, not just the 12 disciples, but other people were there too. Those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, unless you understand this parable, none of the other ones are going to make sense. If you don't understand this parable about the sower sowing the word, you won't get anything else Jesus says. If you don't understand the fact that our hearts are the ground and our hearts are either going to be wayside or they're going to be thorny or they're going to be rocky or they're going to be good, but whichever it is, it's up to us to submit that heart to God and allow it to be changed. Because whatever you are now is not what you have to be. Because I was hard ground. I was stony ground. I didn't want to talk to anybody about Christianity. I want to talk about God. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. But then one day, God came and changed that heart. God came in and started changing that heart and started making that heart. So the first thing it was after it was wayside was it became rocky. But at least something was getting in. And then it went from there to being thorny where, you know what, I love God, but man, I got cares in this life. I got things I'm trying to do. I got things I'm trying to take care of. But God said, that's okay. I got you covered. And then he made that good ground. And then he made a good ground that was only 30-fold. Then he said, come on, be faithful, and I'll make you rulers over much. Come on. Now, then what did he do? He made it 60. He went deeper with me, started taking me deeper. And then he said, now I'm going to make you a 100-fold. Whatever I speak, it won't even go anywhere, but it'll go down and produce 100-fold that I'll give you one little word, and that word will blossom. Why? Because that's what God wants to do. God wants all of his children to be able to hear him, receive from him, and then become dispensers of the word. To hear, receive, bear fruit so that other people eat off of you. That's what God wants. God's cycle. Everything has a season. Everything has a time and a season. And so there's a season for you just to be a seed, and there's a season for you to be a full-grown tree. And when you're a full-grown tree, there's going to be a season where you got nothing but leaves. And you'll feel like, man, it's tough out here. It's cold. It's wintertime. It's cold, Lord. And there's going to be a season where springtime is coming. You start to bear fruit. There's going to be seasons where it's scorching hot outside. And you got to know that your roots are down deep enough that you can handle no matter how hot it gets, no matter what's going on. I'm rooted. I'm grounded. I've changed with the season. I'm ready for this season. I don't care how hot it gets. I'm ready because I'm here. I'm growing. I'm deep. And then you know what's going to happen? Season's going to change again. And you got to change with the season. I got a tree in front of my house. That's that tree. Me and that tree fight all year long. Why? Because that tree, it bears something different all the time. Springtime, little flowers. Oh, man, look at how beautiful that tree is. Little white flowers all over that tree. Then them flowers start falling down. Then it changes. And the flowers, where the flower fell off, a little berry comes out on it. And the berries fall on my truck. We got to scrape them off the truck. And then all those green leaves, by the fall, the green leaves start to fall off. And we'd be sweeping weeds for months. But that tree's teaching me something. That tree's teaching me to change. Whatever the season is, you got to change with the season. I faked the tree out one time. Serious, watch this. It was Christmas time. And so I wrapped lights around the tree. And I was burning them lights all night long, right? The tree starts to think it's springtime because it's warm. What'd it do? In the middle of winter, it blossomed like it was springtime. You understand what I'm telling you? You got an ear to hear. I need you to hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you. Even in a bad season, you can act like it's a good season. You understand what I'm telling you? Even in a bad season, you can produce like it's a good season. It doesn't make a difference because it's what you are. And because of what you are, it doesn't make a difference. There's nothing wrong with the seed that's in you. Nothing wrong with what God put in your life. There's nothing wrong with God has deposited in you. Nothing whatsoever. Your seed, the seed that's in you is perfect. The problem is, what soil are you in? What soil are you in? Are you in the right soil? Are you in the right place? Are you positioned right? See, if you're positioned right, then seasons come and you're prepared for the season. If you're positioned wrong, the slightest change in season will throw you off. I went to work for this boss, and we're going to pray after this. I went to work for this woman, and they told me she was the hatchet person. Man, I just got here. I didn't come to work for the hatchet person? Oh, man, it's going to be a rough ride. And I'm sitting in a meeting with her. And after I found out, the Holy Spirit said, love on her. Now, that's a change of thinking. Because I'm not trying to love her. I'm trying to protect me. You understand what I'm saying? You find out you're working for the hatchet person. Love is not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about how to protect my. I just took this job. I'm trying to protect me. I'm not at this job because I have a whole bunch of money sitting somewhere that I just need to work, you know, because I like it. No, I'm working because I need to work. So I take the job, and I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit said, love on her. So I said these words. I said, my job from now on is to make you look good. And so that's what I did. And all of a sudden, all that stuff went down. And she and I flourished. And the reason she and I flourished is because I recognized what I am. I allowed myself to be planted and recognized the environment is not the ground. I'm the ground. If I make it good, it'll be good. And I won't have to try to make it good. I just have to make it good and be who I am, and I'm going to grow. I can't help but grow. I have no choice but grow. It's in my DNA to grow. It's in your DNA to love. But the world is trying to stop you from loving. The world is trying to put things around you to stop you from being what you are. You've been grafted into the will of God, given the Holy Spirit of promise, and God is working in you to change. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to be changed into the image of Christ. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, scratch that. I am in the image of Christ. Amen.